Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is Pam Drennan, and this is the Cosmic Contact Show coming to you from the RBR Network, and we are located out of Memphis, Tennessee. I'm glad to have you joining us this evening. I'm calling you from Redmond, Washington, and we're getting ready to have a great cosmic journey this evening. You're going to love my guest, Sheila Baker. I will be sharing more about her in a moment. I want everyone to know that you can access the show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford. And you do that live, or you can go into the archives, which is the on-demand section that's available shortly after the show finishes. Now, if you're not online or you have someone who wants to hear the show, you can easily do that by just calling in to 347-838-9142. If you want to ask a question, use the same number, 347-838-9142, and press the 1 button on your touch tone and phone, and Annie, the moderator, or on your cell phone, will get you right in. And I want to share with you about the RBR Network. We have a great network that I like to tell everybody about. It goes all week long. And we have several shows on some days. But on Mondays is the Cosmic Contact Show. And that comes to you at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. These are all Central Standard Times. Tuesday is the I Am Well Show at 8 p.m. The Night Search Show is at 9:30 on Tuesday. Wednesday is the No Show at 7 p.m. The Laws of Material Wealth, the Personal Development Program is at 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday. Progressive News Weekly, and that's at 5:30. And that's out of New York. Get some good stuff in there. Friday is the Searcher's Roadmap Show is at 1 p.m. And the Dream Vision 7 Show is at 3 p.m. Soul Town, the Sound of Music, is on Saturday at 3 p.m. And Sunday is the Dream Vision 7 Show again, and that's at 3 p.m. That is out of Boston. But we are a pretty big network, and we go out to I think over 40 countries, so we are making the rounds with everybody and tuning in and sharing some good people on the shows. We have wonderful people that we interview, I think, and people that have interest of things that we're interested in. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about this wonderful guest that I have on my show. This is the second time Sheila has come on the show, and Sheila, she's a shaman, but she does something special. She does shamanic tarot, and she uses many tools while she's doing this to help the soul's evolution, and that's what the shamanic tarot is about. It includes Akashic records, soul retrieval, with aftercare. Now, I need to know what that means, soul retrieval with aftercare. Anyway, and she does shamanic counseling. She has a book out, Journeys of Transformation, and she is a very neat woman and has done a lot of great things in her short lifetime here on the planet. Sheila and Gino, and I do too, you have everything you want in your life. And have you created the best life you can? She says our shamanic guides can help us, and that they come in all shapes, sizes, ages, and intelligence. They are not always animals. So find out why a shamanic guide is vitally important in your life. We're going to find out right now. I'm going to bring Sheila in. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Pam. Wow, that was an amazing introduction. I want to know that person.
Me too. Well, we're talking to her. Sheila,
oh, goody.
Tell us why a shamanic guide is vitally important in our lives, and you might kind of explain what a shamanic guide is.
That'd be awesome. I'd love to do that. But first, Pam, what I'd like to do is set sacred space. And what that does,
okay,
it allows everyone to have the experience of the sensations of my words as well as the intellect of them. So we'll just take a moment. So everyone, whether you're driving or not, just take a nice deep breath in through your nose and then out through a little cheerio of lips. So, and I'll just call in the guides and the allies and the directions. Spirit guides and allies of the East, the place of dawn and new beginnings, where eagle soars and owl is able to look into the deep, dark woods. We ask that you guide us and teach us and show us the way. Aho. Spirit guides and allies of the South, the place of trust and innocence and childlike playfulness, where coyote frolics and snake keeps her belly low to the ground and her senses ever aware, and grandmother spider shows us how to weave it all together from within. We ask for the good medicine of the South. Aho. Spirit guides and allies of the West, the place of watery fluidity, the place of the great unknown. We give thanks for the bear medicine who shows us how to walk in isolation and come together at time of desire and co-creation. We ask that you guide us and teach us and show us the way. Aho. Spirit guides and allies of the North, the vast expanse of whiteness, the deep look within time, the time of introspection and hibernation and reflection. We give thanks for the gifts of White Buffalo Calf Pipe Woman. We give thanks for ancestral wisdom and deep knowing. Aho. Sky Father, the place of illumination, the planetary allies, the sun and the moon. We give thanks for support from above. Aho. Earth Mother, upon whom we walk. We give thanks for your ability to take that which no longer serves, compost it, and bring it back into sustenance and nurturance. We give thanks for support from below. Aho. Creator, the great hoop of life that binds us all, we give thanks for the ability to spiral into source and bring that which we find there back into illumination. We give thanks for imagination, creation, and manifestation. And most of all, we give thanks for being held. Aho. So that's all. Little sip of water. So that's called calling in the directions and invoking sacred space. And what that does is that you and everyone who's listening had a shift in that calming down, looking at the animals, maybe even getting some visions. So in the shamanic realm, what happens is we ask for divine guidance. And I think it's really worth paying attention to the fact that this day that we're doing this on is such a powerful day of personal freedom. You know, we're doing this on Martin Luther King Day. And for the shamanic realm, it is about that freedom. Because when you actually understand that you have someone who's holding you, and with your best interest, your highest and best or better interest, which you can't even imagine in mind, we just have ability to just relax into knowing that, you know, we're walking with someone, someone's got our back. And like it said in the introduction, shamanic guides come in all shapes and forms. you know, I like to chuckle that my business guide is a giraffe. And in the beginning, I thought, what could a giraffe possibly know about all the things that I need to know about? And so she showed me. She spread her legs way out, and she got the dew off the grass, and then she came back. She says, that doesn't look so pretty. And then she craned her neck way up and got the fresh buds. And later I was telling someone that story, and they said, the giraffe has the largest heart of any mammal. And if you're going to be in business, if you're going to be in the busyness of the world, it's really good to have a big heart, because, you know, the demands of everyday life and the demands of marketing and all of those other things that we think about when we think about being in business, it's good to have that kind of guidance. So they do come in all shapes and forms and sizes, and like I said, intelligences as well. You know, it's amazing what an inchworm can show you. And we don't really think much about the beings that crawl on the earth as having that kind of wisdom for us. So having a shamanic guide is a very powerful thing to do. It's like having a very best friend, and a friend with no agenda other than your happiness and your well-being. So that's kind of a big broad overview of shamanic guides. Do you have some specific questions, Pam, that you might want to ask me?
Well, yeah, I think I do. When
okay.
you were talking about that shamanic guide is for your business, so how do we get shamanic guides for other things, for relationships or our health, or is it all just one guide? Or,
oh, what a great question. The very first thing that you do when someone wants to know about their guides, I feel it's important that I facilitate a journey for them rather than I will find your guides for you. Because if I help you the first time find your guide, and then you begin to build a relationship using exactly the same process that we do for finding the guide, you can journey over and over and thousands. You know, I can't imagine even trying to count the number of journeys that I've had in the past 20-something years. So it's a process of the way that I teach is you get into a spirit canoe, and that's a birch bark canoe. And the reason that I used canoe was because it's pretty universal. Everyone knows what a canoe is. And then you imagine yourself, using your imagination is pivotal, because you imagine yourself either sitting or standing or lying, or notice how it is you're in the canoe. And then I ask that on your right-hand side, you invite male ancestors. The right-hand side of the body is the masculine. We get out and do it. Most people have been trained to be right-handed. So the right-hand side, you invite the male ancestors. On the left-hand side, you invite your female ancestors. Behind you, you place protection, whatever it is for you. And I've never known anyone to have the same protection as anyone else. And then in the first journey that we go on, we leave the bow in front of you. We leave it open. And you set the intention to ask for a guide to help you with the shamanic journeys. And then I use a monotonous drum beat, and the journey lasts about 20-something minutes. And most people, there will be, in the first few journeys, well, almost always in journeying, there's some interrupts, like something will come up, like, oh, you forgot to buy milk. And you just get into the habit of saying thank you. And because if you start going, well, I don't want to hear about that right now, the little milk voice gets bigger and bigger and bigger and starts a big long list of things that you've forgotten. But thank you just allows that part of your mind that wants to keep you safe and is a little nervous about what you're doing, it just allows it to calm down. So then I drum for you monotonously for 20, 25 minutes, and then we come back and we talk about the what you experienced in the journey. At the very end of the journey, before you're fully back, you thank the ancestors, you thank the protection, you thank everything that happened. Gratitude is a powerful mover. And then we, you write about it, because writing makes it concrete in your body, and then the cells that have memories, they begin to remember, oh, this is journeying, oh, this is journeying, and then we write. And what we write becomes our story. So we're all the authors of our own lives, the authority in our own life. So we write about it, and then I talk to people about their journeys. And I use 5 archetypes to be able to understand the metaphors, because a lot of the journeys are not straightforward. It's not like walk 40 feet, turn left, and you'll find a prize. But it's they come in metaphors. So over the years, I developed a system to help people understand the information that there's coming in their journey. Then it's really important to do something, because information without implementation is not very useful. So always my students and my clients have something to do, whether it's going and finding a statue of whoever they encountered, whether it's finding a picture. Sometimes it's going and learning about this animal. I mean, I didn't know a giraffe had the biggest heart until I started to explore, you know, what it is to be a giraffe. And so then we begin to actually align with, if you have an animal, some people have plants, but you begin to align with another, like you align with nature. If it's a plant, you align with, oh, I need to find out about that plant, which automatically takes you out of nature. If you start to learn about a giraffe, you're automatically drawn into that world, which is very different than our own world living in houses. So, and then once you have a guide, you have the ability to go back and journey many times, asking all kinds of information, from learning about them to learning more about your own life. It's quite a one of those processes that you can use for the rest of your life. There's always a question to ask, isn't there?
Well, yes, there is. And I have been on several shamanic journeys and to the underworld, you know, for the animal world. And, oh, gosh, I had a big old gray lizard show up and a dancing bear. And fox was there to guide my way. And I had a hedgehog. Yeah, I remember there was a hedgehog. It was so cute. And but I did feel like excited when I went through the journey. And, you know, and I'm just kind of sitting there going, well, yeah, is anything going to really happen? And then I'm seeing myself down inside this big log that becomes like a cave underground, and I'm walking around and I mean, if no one's ever done it, and here is this this fox comes and says, you know, I'm here to guide you, and I'm okay, you know. And that's when we met the hedgehog, and then on down into the ground is we met Bear, and Bear wanted to tell me about my health. I remember that was something I had was wondering, so we talked about that and some things that I could do, and then I we came back, and then we went to the ocean, and that's when this huge big gray lizard crawled out from under this rock, and I can't quite remember what that was really about, but I did go out and find me a little green rubber lizard that represents gray lizard that's on my desk. And so I think about that. So I figure I've got some good old lizard medicine with me right now. So what would you say about lizard, if lizard comes to call?
Oh, I was hoping you would ask that. So here's the thing about lizards. They awaken your dreams. And they're associated. They used to think that lizards came out of the fire because they, you know, there you were in this big old log inside walking with the fox. So lizards, salamanders, actually hide in the inside of old dead squishy logs. And then when they are, well, and maybe they're not so squishy because they're thrown on the fire. And then out come the salamanders, out come the lizards. So it used to be thought that they came out of the fire. And so they're associated with the element of fire. Fire is passion and drive and go get 'em. And it's also connected to the divine. It's like the phoenix. You know, goes up in flames and out of the ashes. So I love that you had a big old lizard, and that I love that it also crawled out of a rock, because if something has been, you've had an idea, and then you kind of put it aside, maybe even rolled a rock on top of it, it's not going to stay under there any longer. And if you think about what's happened to you between the time that you had that journey and where you are now, I'm imagining that some dreams that you were maybe had put aside, didn't quite think, oh, maybe the timing's not right, maybe I don't know how to do that, whatever. But I'm betting they're either fully in action or waking up. So you might want to just like reflect back. Then that's the beauty also of the journey, is that you'll have a journey, and I have an old journal with, well, I have lots of old journals with lots of old journeys, and occasionally I'll just pick one up and I'll go, oh, I forgot all about that. So you can go back. It's like this fabulous story, and there's a part in there that you read and you realize, oh, that's about me, and I had forgotten about that. So we get the chance to go back and reawaken our dreams. And what a powerful time to be doing something like that, because here we are at the very beginning of a year that is already shaping up to be quite spectacular. And you know, you've got dreams that are reawakening. You and I are talking about the ability to have a guide, to have a life extraordinary, beyond the ordinary. And when you asked for the healing that was appropriate for you, I would imagine that you got a couple of things that you really weren't expecting, and you were able to implement them. And here you are on a pathway to health. And that's quite spectacular, don't you think?
Really. Now, that is so true. And I almost forgot what the bear said, because I was journeying to see, you know, about stop having some health issues. And it was all about eating natural and lots of fresh fruit and berries and, you know, fish and things like the bears like to eat, you know. And then, of course, it said that I wasn't moving around enough and that I needed to dance, because he was the dancing bear. Need more exercise. It was so cute. It was like, I'm just like cracking up. And because the bear was funny, at first it was kind of scary because it was a big old black bear. It was, you know, huge. And then he was just wiggling his tail and showed me how to, you know, to shake my booty. And it was so cute. But anyway, yes, it was fun. And you know what? I guess I do have a pretty good imagination, but I was really not expecting to see anything when I did it. I'm just thought, well, okay, let's see if anything shows up. So don't ever anybody poo-poo doing these journeys. And I know Sheila would to take you on a journey, and you can. I'm going to give you your contact information. Reach Sheila after the show at www.sheilabaker.com, or you can call her at 206-903-9404. Okay, Sheila, we've got a couple of people online. Let's bring Stacy in from Florida and see what she wants to ask about,
love that.
Okay.
Hey.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling in.
thanks. You know, that's interesting with tarot and everything. And I was just wondering if you see any description of any guy that I would be interested in, that would be interested in me coming up.
Oh, well, here's what we would do, is you and I would go on a journey. I would facilitate a journey for you, because what my belief system is that when you have the experience of the journey and you have the experience of seeing your guide three times, you might just see an eye, you might see a wing, you might see a foot, you might see a knee, they may show up full on. When you do that, it's so much more significant than if someone else gives it to you. So my passion really is to help people find their own spirit guides and their own power animals. So I would love to do that with you. And it's a very simple process. We just journey together. It takes about, I like spaciousness, so I like to spend an hour, sometimes an hour and a half with people, helping them with that. So that's how I do that, rather than me doing it for you. We do it together.
Yeah, because sometimes, you think that you'll connect with somebody and it just either delayed or it just doesn't happen.
In all my 25 years of doing this, I've only actually ever had one person who wasn't able to do the... I think sometimes what happens to us is when we're itty-bitty, we're told, don't have an imaginary friend and stop daydreaming and, do it this way. And we've forgotten that we have this amazing creative mind. And then as we get a little older and we go, we've been trained out of our imagination. But it's so easy when you have something like a monotonous drumbeat, which facilitates the brain to go into the right brain waves. Now, I'm not any good at telling you exactly which those right brain waves are, because I kind of get confused about that bit. It's scientifically proven that a monotonous beat for a certain number of minutes will put you into a different brainwave pattern. And so with that, you have the ability to do this. It's, it's lovely backed by science that this is what happens. In this realm, in this brainwave that we go into, we have access to things that you can't see when the monotonous drumbeat or the rattle or whatever isn't happening. So, I honestly have only ever met one person, and she and I are still working together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you're welcome to contact me. Give me a shout afterwards, and we'll see what we can do together.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. And you can look for an online class that's coming up soon. I'll be letting everyone know about that pretty soon.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, everybody, again, that www.SheilaBaker.com to get that information. And Sheila, how long have you been doing this shaman work?
Oh, my goodness. That's a great question, too. So I had a near-death experience when I was about 5. And coming back from that, I began to see things that other people didn't see. I saw my brother sitting between my parents in the car, and he wasn't born for another 3 years. And I've just been, I've been on this path of wanting to help people feel better ever since I was a little kid. I knew that we were here to live in bliss, really, ever since I was extremely young. And I also knew everyone is doing their best. And Deepak Chopra came along and said, at their state of consciousness. And that really, then I could really, really, really grasp that one. But these are concepts that I've had since I was really tiny. And I, you know, I knew that I had chosen my parents, so adolescence wasn't that crazy bunch of stuff that lots of people go through. How can you be angry at people that you chose? That didn't make any sense to me. So I've been doing it for a long time. I trained as a nurse because I thought that was it. And I've been an empath for, you know, probably since I was five, but there weren't any words for it for a really long time. So I'm very happy that we've discovered, you know, highly sensitive people and that we are in a place where we're now exploring that. So throughout time, I did a number became the nurse, I became a psychotherapist, a dance movement therapist. I was studying astrology when I found shamanism, and I realized that I've been doing this as long as I've been alive. I just didn't know I could or I could have a drum or that I needed a drum, and it's much easier with tools. That's really fascinating. But so most of my life, Pam, has actually been on this path.
Since 5 years old, I would say that it has. You know, there was someone that,
who knows what was going on before.
Really? We have a question from the chat room. It says, is it normal that a shamanic guide will change from one being to another over time? I guess change from one being to another over time.
I love the smart people who are tuning in. So absolutely, my first guide was a moose, and I very rarely see moose anymore. The guide that helped me with writing the book is Peacock. So you have different guides for different things, relationships, events, particular circumstances, particular relationships with certain people, and they do change, just as your needs change. And so, if you have a relationship guide, chances are they're going to be there through your relationship, but perhaps not. Sometimes I remember when my mom crossed over, my male ancestor and my female ancestor both went with her, which I thought was quite fascinating. But then as reflecting back, they had already had apprentices, and they'd already been bringing their apprentices into our journeys. So when that happened, I wasn't devastated. And being aware that they will change is a really useful thing, because otherwise we all think, if something happens, we've done something wrong. So that just takes the I've done something wrong right out of it, knowing that, oh, yeah, it's meant to change. Now, my particular male ancestor is a bear, and he has morphed several times. One time he started at his tail, and it took about 6 weeks to happen, and he morphed all the way to his snout, and he turned into an anteater. I had one journey with the anteater, and then bear starts to reappear over time. So they also morph. It's called shape-shifting. And so will you. You know, you might be in a journey, and you might look out and go, oh, look at that, I have feathers. Or look at that big old paw down there. It's not unusual for that to happen, but it can be kind of scary if you don't know it's possible. So, yeah, great question. Absolutely, they change over time, as do you.
Okay, that was a good question to ask. Yeah, and so we know they can change. I'm going to bring our next caller in. They're from Colorado, Patchen. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking... Hello?
Thanks for being there. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm very interested in this topic. I'd like to know whatever you see. I have felt a draw to go to Peru and kind of explore shamanism and some plants that have been associated with it. So I'd love to know whatever you see with that.
Oh, well, that's a great question, but here's what I can help you with. I can help you with getting clear about that, because what's the most important thing is your clear seeing about it. And I'm not clairvoyant in that way, but I could facilitate a journey for you, or I could, you know, the thing about taking on you're talking about like a pilgrimage. So,
yes.
Yeah, as you're thinking about this, it's a useful idea to go, you know, what's the draw? What am I looking for? And it seems like you're looking for a vision.
Yeah.
And
so.
Yeah, yeah.
Something unknown.
Yeah, you're going on a vision quest. So it's useful for you to think about it like that. And when people quest with me, we take a number of months to prepare, because the body is going to be, you know, it's going to be in a completely different environment. It's going to, your psyche is going to be noticing things differently. So the quest that you're talking about going on is very powerful for someone who is making a breakthrough. Sometimes when you're making a powerful career change, you know, doing the kind of plant medicine that you're talking about is really useful. I'm not drawn myself personally. I'm not drawn to do that right now. Now, that could change in the next who knows how long, but it hasn't been part of my calling. So it's not something that I don't facilitate, that kind of vision quest. But absolutely, there are wonderful, I have friends who've gone and had wonderful experiences, have, you know, helped change their lives. They knew they were on the path to being ready for something, but they didn't quite know what. So I think it's a lovely idea, and there's some really fabulous people out to doing that work. So, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel a pull, and I feel like that should be explored, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about calling, someone recently asked me, well, what was so terrible about where you were that you needed to run away from that? And I said, well, nothing was so terrible that I needed to run away. It was a calling. So when all of us have callings, it's really important to pay attention to that. And so,
yeah, there's a difference between running from and running to, I think.
Well, and there's a big difference to being called to.
Yes.
Yeah. So if this is your calling, if you're hearing this as, you know, I need to do this, I need to figure out how to get there, I think that's always a good indicator that you're on the right track.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to go, nothing's going to get in my way, then you pretty much, you know. I had a teacher who said, if it's not Yahoo yes, it's no. So it sounds like you're pretty much on Yahoo yes.
Well, yeah, I've been getting intuitions on exactly where and what I should
Perfect.
Do. And definitely Peru seems like somewhere I should go.
Well,
I don't know.
I have a friend who went, and if you want to, the way that you spell my name, by the way, is S-H-I-E-L-A. And so if you want to get in touch with me, I'd be happy to get in touch with her and find out where she went. Then you would have at least a reference.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Yeah, I definitely want to, you know, be informed and
yeah.
maybe have a connection before I go down there, because it is
a wise idea.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, give me a shout afterwards, and I will see what I can do to help you.
Yeah, I will. Thank you very much.
So welcome. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
pleasure.
Well, Sheila, that was great, and I think what you shared with her was right on. I guess I'm going to Peru. I would think I'd want to go with a party of people that may be going to Machu Picchu or somewhere down there, you know, at the Mexico. But anyway, going somewhere I don't know, though. Maybe you're the real adventurer. You could just take off on your own.
Well, you know, I think that when we have a calling, if we're waiting for everyone else to get it together, to form a group or join a group, sometimes our calling might just get a little bit diluted. And some people are just, you know, they just, you know that I've got to go and do this. And when that comes out and it's powerful and big like that, it doesn't really matter whether you're with a group or not. You're going to, you know, we're all going to get what we need as long as we figure out what it is. Therein lies the challenge and why shamanic guides are so valuable, because we have our little brain and we have our little agenda, and then we talk to somebody else and they have, you know, their little brain and they have their agenda. The thing about two-leggeds and even myself, as much as we try to be hollow bamboos, we still have an agenda. And what's beautiful about your shamanic guides is their agenda is for your highest and best or better. That's it. A two-legged agenda is, oh, you know, well, maybe this person will call me and then we'll get together and we'll have tea and then we'll be friends. But with your guides, they don't have any of that. There isn't anything in there that has any ulterior motives with it. So when you go to them and you ask, you know, is this in my best interest? Sometimes they're like, run forward. And other times they're like, run away. So it's, and over time, you know, I've been living this life for quite a while now. And over time, I've just come to relax into, you know, they're going to do their best for me. And whenever I ask, they're right there. Doesn't it make you want one?
Well, I would say absolutely. So what's your favorite one? Which one do you call on the most?
Oh, dear. Do you know, it's like someone asking me my favorite song or my favorite color. I'm like, I don't know how to choose. So I don't know how to choose, and so I don't have one. The ancestors for me are really the constants. The guides, you know, come and go. I write for New Spirit Journal, and so folks who are reading that will see that, you know, I mean, one journey it was a porcupine, one it was flamingos, one it was something else. So when I'm writing, all kinds of different ones come. When I'm journeying for myself, you know, mostly I'm spending time with giraffe a bunch because I'm really crafting some new things, some online classes and some packages so that I can work longer with people. So right now I'm hanging with giraffe a bunch.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. So I want to ask you now, what does soul retrieval with aftercare, what does that mean?
Oh, wow. I'm so excited to talk about that. So I look at the soul like an orange rather than an India rubber ball that's really hard. And in life, we have traumatic events. It can be something as seemingly insignificant as a five-year-old not getting invited to a birthday party. But if there's been disappointments already, car accidents are a really good one. Surgeries, divorces, relationship breakups. In these, sometimes a piece of our soul fragments off and it goes into the other world. And there, I call them soul guardians. So the soul part is taken care of by a soul guardian. but they stay there. If the trauma is repeated, if it's physical, sexual, emotional abuse that goes on, or multiple car accidents, if that continues, then that soul part doesn't return. And the person starts to, over time, feel like something is missing. Long-term depression, where someone has been seeking counsel and doing the work, but things are not, it's just not getting better, that's usually a sign of soul loss. The symptoms of post-traumatic stress are signs of soul loss. And people like me, shaman like me, have the ability to journey into the other world on your behalf. So someone comes to see me, they say, you know, I'm despondent, I'm not motivated, I'm not having the life I want, this is not good enough for me. I'll journey on their behalf and ask soul parts that are ready to come back now to come and help. And so a few soul parts will come back, the ones that are most appropriate for helping at that time. And so I journey and I bring them home, and then I blow them into the heart chakra and into the top of the head. And then I seal them all up so that they stay inside by rattling. And then I tell the person what it is that I saw and what I experienced. And sometimes it doesn't make any sense until you go away and you start to think about it, or you ask. I remember I had a 18-month-old soul part. And I don't remember that. So I asked my mom, and she said, oh, yeah, this was what was going on. So it made sense that that little part would go, oh, no, I'm leaving. No one on the planet does not have soul loss. So let me say it one and more. Everyone on the planet, including the Dalai Lama, has soul loss. So we shaman bring them back. And then, for me, the contract that I made with my guides was I would do aftercare. And aftercare is 3 sessions afterwards. Because, you know, you get a soul retrieval, you're all excited, you feel really good, you wander off, and you forget. And so it's my job, on behalf of the soul parts, to meet with you 3 more times. So that happens over about 12 weeks. And we meet about 2.5 weeks, another 3.5, and another 4 weeks after that. Because in the business of being on in your life and on the planet, we just forget. So I'm here to remind you, well, you did you talk to your soul part? Did you get a coloring book? You know, have you been on a swing lately? You know, did you go and drive a hot car? You know, the kinds of things that soul parts will ask you for. And sometimes they ask you for things that you're not doing anymore. Sometimes soul parts come back and, you know, they want to have a drink, but you're not drinking any longer. So you get to negotiate with them. But it's the care that happens afterwards. I often say it's like adopting a child. And when you adopt a child, you wouldn't just go, you know, open the door and put the little person inside and say, I'll be back in a while, and close the door. You'd show them around, say, well, you know, here we are, and here's your bed, and, you know, here's the bathroom. And so you do the same with your soul parts. And it's a daily conversation, asking, what do you need today? It's also a daily conversation saying, you don't need to be afraid anymore. I will never let that, whatever that is, the car accident, the being yelled at, the abuse, I will never let that happen again. So you begin to integrate that part, and people feel more joyous, they're less depressed. There's been some amazing things. People have completely changed their lives around, got new careers, just, and you look lighter, and people will say, you know, did you lose weight? Did you cut your hair? What's going on with you? But there's just a sense of well-being that happens with the soul parts coming home and with the aftercare, the retrieval, and then the aftercare.
Okay, well, I'm glad I asked you that. That's very interesting. That has a lot kind of goes along with what I do with my healing work that I do, that I offer. But it's just a different thing, just set up in a different way. Well, I love that. And Sheila, I've loved everything that you shared with us this evening. We don't have any callers right now, but I wanted to ask maybe Annie, if she's got something she'd like to know. Annie?
Yes.
Hello there. Did you want to ask Sheila about something that we've been listening about?
Well, I was just thinking about needing a journey for myself to. I would like to have a job. I would like to change jobs. And what I've done for 26 years. So I sell office products, and I'm like, I just like love all my customers like they're my family. And I know, we each have a relationship.
You bet.
So
let me tell you about something might be even, even more useful. There's something called the Akashic Records. And there, every thought, deed, and action, and intention that your soul had from its inception to the present and all future possibilities. And in the realm of the Akashic Records, which quantum physics has actually found a spot that the records reside, so I just love that. And in the records is all of that information. And there's masters, teachers, and loved ones. So these beings have been with your soul since its inception to the present and understand all the future possibilities that you have. So when you're at a place where a big decision like, well, I want to change, I'm not quite sure what path to take, often consulting in the Akashic Records is a really fabulous idea because they know your soul's purpose, and the guidance that they give you will be very useful for, making, aligning with the next step that is moving you forward. So I love using the Akashic Records for that kind of a thing. So they're good for what, how, why, where, kinds of questions. The when questions, not so much, because they'll give you your own work to do before this thing is achieved. But it's a lovely source of information. Have you heard of it before?
So, not really.
I guess it's very interesting, but not like
to pay attention to it.
Yeah, well, since there's been so many healers and teachers and metaphysicians coming on the planet, the vibration has increased to a frequency that allows us to have access that we didn't have in before. Only sages and seers and gurus could access the Akashic Records. But now, because we're our vibration is changing, and it's even changing more this year and the upcoming years, we have access to all of this information. And so you're going to be seeing more people say, I can open the Akashic Records. I actually teach a class to teach everyone how to open their own Akashic Records. Because I think, once again, I think it's useful to teach people how to do things for themselves. I love to do things with and for people, but I also just get such joy out of when someone begins to journey on their own, to open their Akashic Records, and to create their life by their own design. I mean, what bliss is that? That's just such a lovely thing to do. So, Annie, you'll be hearing more about that. But, have a think on that. And if that's something. And you can also go on my website. My website does a lot of education, so you can look up the Akashic Records there and even read more about that.
Okay, and your website, SheilaBaker.com?
Yes, and it's S-H-I-E-L-A, because my grandma was a grammar school teacher, so it was I before E, so bless.
Right. Except after C.
Exactly.
Okay.
Cool. Well, yeah, and
okay.
Have a look. You know,
okay.
If you want any more information, just give me a shout. I'd be happy to help.
Okay, and I'm going to screen this caller. We have another caller here.
We have one more caller. Yeah, and we're getting down close to our time. We've got about 4 minutes left on line now. So, Sheila, that I think the Akashic Record is something that seems like, well, that's just not able to get into that. And I saw where you were offering that workshop and that I wanted to do that, but it was too late. So if you do it again, let me know.
I will. I would love to, and I would love for you to share it with people because it's a powerful thing to know that you have access to your own records.
Well, yes. If we got access to our own, do we have access to other people?
Only if it's okay with them. It's
okay.
That asking permission. So as long as as long as either they ask you or you ask them, then yes. And if you're in the Akashic Records and you want to know about someone else and your interconnection with them, you can ask about that. But just to open up someone else's records and ask questions is not in the highest integrity. So always ask first.
Right. Do you work with other people's Akashic records if they ask you to?
Well, generally what happens is I do a lot of distance reading, so no one has to come into my house. Yes, they ask me to open them for them, so I do. Yeah.
Okay.
And we spend about an hour and a half asking the questions and getting information. It's very much like a conversation. It's very sweet. You know, just like the shamanic journeys are magical and mystical and moving, the Akashic Records energy is very loving. They're very compassionate. There's no finger waggling. They never say, you know, you did this wrong. They'll just help with you to have a much more better life, to have a much more gracious and easy life.
All right. Well, look, let's bring Jocelyn in from New York. She's our last one.
Okay.
So just if you go over a few minutes, it'll be fine. Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm having a little broth here to see if it helps heal all the pain. I have a lot of pain in my body right now due to all this cold, I think, you know. But
I do.
Yeah.
So we're exactly on the opposite sides of the United States. I'm just above Seattle and you're in New York. How can
I
help you?
I just came in towards the end of your program, okay? It's my first time calling in, and I guess was lucky enough to be able to get on your queue here. I would leave it up to you then to just tell me whatever, because I don't know exactly. I do have questions to ask, but I'm not sure what to throw out.
Well, that's okay. You just go ahead and ask a question.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am having financial issues, and I'm having also communication problems with some of my children that are distant. I mean, it's like I have kids in Montreal. I have kids in Canada. Okay, and I currently live here with my daughter and my youngest son. But I do have some problems with my ex, you know, not letting me communicate with the children, and it's been really difficult the past couple of years. And I'm wanting to be able to have more of a communion and communicating. I've been trying, you know. I don't know. I don't have the financial, you know, to be able to hire attorneys and all of this other stuff. But a lot of stuff are coming up, you know.
Uh-huh.
And things that I'm starting to find out about. And there are other people that are wanting to help me, you know, but I don't know if it's fear, you know, that keeps me from taking a step. I don't know.
Okay, and it's Jocelyn, right?
Yes.
Okay, so here's what I am sensing. I see a block. Actually, it's more like a constriction, and it's in your guts.
In your
gut.
Okay.
Uh huh. And I also hear some congestion in your head. And it mm-hmm. might be a physical thing, but it might just be an energetic kind of thing. It feels like it would be really useful for you to use some tea tree oil.
Okay.
And you just want to boil some water, put it in a bowl, put a drop in there, and put your head over that. It feels like it will really help you. You know, communication is in the lungs and in the head, and it'll really help you get cleared out. So expect to have, you know, a lot of blowing your nose, that kind of thing. And I would do it a couple of times a day for 3 or 4 days. You're going to feel a whole lot better. And then for your tummy, just feels like you're retaining a lot of you're retaining a lot in your intestines, so that things aren't flowing through.
Mm-hmm.
So hang on one second. Let me see. You're not quite, it would be useful for you to use some aloe vera, but you're not quite ready for that. You want to really get some things cleared out. I don't know, have you thought about doing some kind of a detox? Like even a short little, you know, spring detox kind of thing. It's still wintry time, but for you right now, it might be useful for you to do that, even if you just do it for 4 or 5 days. It doesn't have to be a long, hard thing, just to get some movement happening. And I think once you get, you know, the movement, the decongesting out of your head and then the decongesting out of your belly, I think you'll find things move a lot more easily.
Hmm.
And one suggestion that I have is that you go and maybe look at something called radical forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
and have a look at that. In the meanwhile, my suggestion to you is that you write your whole story, and you don't leave any bits out. But you only allow yourself 5 days to do it. In 5 days, you're going to write your story from the beginning, when you first, you know, the first memories, all the way through everything that you remember up until, you know, when you're finished writing with a pen. And then I would burn it. Burn the whole thing.
Write, write my story of my past.
Your life. Yep. And in there, some stuff that you think is holding you back and getting in the way and stopping the communication and all of that, you'll just be writing about it. Don't stop and solve any problems. Just keep writing until it's done.
And then
burn it.
Mm-hmm.
Then take those ashes and find a plant somewhere. It could be one of your plants. It can be out. But dig a little hole and put the ashes in there and cover it up and leave it to rest.
Okay.
And then check on that little plant every once in a while
if you're going to do it with a houseplant, pick it up and put it in the bottom of the pot and leave it being there. Plants love ash. And okay. out of that old story that you've been telling yourself and you're continuing to tell yourself, you're going to just watch this plant blossom away, and that will transmute the story. And you won't be living from the old story anymore.
Amen. Hallelujah, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, give me a shout and let me know how it works.
Can I ask you one more question?
Well, we need to ask Pam if you can, because...
Okay.
So, hey, Pam?
Yes, she can ask another question.
Okay, great. Thanks.
I am going to be starting a new project, working with some people that have, you know, offered me a new job, okay? How do you see this, you know, coming out for me? I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be doing a couple of projects with, like, three or four different, you know, groups and companies. And I really need this to work for me. Do you see this going really well?
Well, that's a lovely and great question, and I'll tell you what I said to someone else who was asking something about me seeing that kind of stuff. I see things in people's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Don't necessarily see the interplay between a person and other groups.
Okay.
If we were to do a full-on tarot reading, then I could pull the cards for you, and the cards would speak to that. But me, that's not one of my gifts at this moment.
Well, the money coming in, that's what I want to know.
Well, see, that's not one of my gifts
thing.
Either.
Okay. I mean, you know, it's my first time calling you, so.
That's okay. I'm so happy that you did, and I'm so happy that you have questions and that you got, you know, one piece taken care of for yourself.
Yes.
Also,
yes.
Say before you ask for information about this next question, do that first piece. Write the story.
Yes.
Do that, and then ask the next question, because your writing it and finishing it will have an influence on what's next.
I see. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. All right.
Have a great evening.
That was great that you shared that with her. Sheila, this is the end of the show, and do you have any great words of wisdom? You shared a lot of great stuff tonight.
Oh, I know. Isn't it fun? I think my what I'll leave people with is to actually... to become your own star and to find out what that means. This is your movie. You're the only one that's going to be a star in it. And so find what the calling, find your calling. I mean, if it's making peanut butter cookies, you're an angel. And find just that thing that you lose yourself in, that you get such joy in, that just makes you happy, because this is it. The Dalai Lama says we are here to be happy. Deepak Chopra says bliss is the highest dharma. So, you know, when we vibrate and we're unhappy, it's not helping anyone. So find something. If it's eating chocolate every day, eat some chocolate. Have an ice cream cone. Be sweet to yourself. There you go. That's my word. Be sweet to yourself. Sweetness. Your sweetness.
Okay. Uh-huh. I'm all for that. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for being on tonight. We loved everything you shared. I know I did. And I hope we get you back on again in the near future. I want everyone to know that you're on the line next Monday. I have Madra Dell. She's from Memphis, Tennessee, and she works with crystal skulls, and she is a fabulous intuitive. And I know you'll enjoy next Monday night at Cosmic Contact with Pam. And Annie, I want to. Do you have anything you want to say in closing?
Well, just great. Like you said, what great information and good motivation too. That's what I need. And I am gonna check into these records and see what I can find out for myself.
Awesome. Sounds perfect. Well, thank you too for hosting and being so sweet to do all of this. It's wonderful. It's nice to know that that there's folks out there like you and us who are doing the work.
Right.
We are.
And we appreciate
the light work. Yes. Thank you, Sheila.
Exactly. Thanks a lot.